And in the Zen tradition, yes, we find the Zen adept, the Zen master likened to a tiger. Or the Zen adept is described as one who is able to meet and wrestle with tigers, can even capture tigers, who's able to go up to a tiger, look it in the eyes, and even pull the tiger's whiskers. There's a lovely story of from the Zen tradition of an emperor who has a tiger. You know, he's got a tiger and he's got it in a cage. It's one of his pets, and he asks one of his samurai to go in to train it without a sword. So the samurai goes in with his fan and does all this stuff. And yes, the tiger's kind of all right with that, although, you know, the samurai is sweating and very frightened. But then the Zen master goes in, and he doesn't do anything, and the Zen master is completely, and the tiger is completely calm and at ease. And the samurai says, well, you have to know that Zen is always superior to samurai. But these metaphors of going up to the tiger, capturing tigers, pulling their whiskers, looking into their eyes, these metaphors describe the way in which Zen practitioners communicate with the Zen master. When you meet a Zen master, according to the tradition, you don't meet him for a pleasant chat about Buddhist philosophy over a cup of tea. You don't meet him to kind of talk about your problems. You don't meet up to kind of have witty conversations with all sorts of Zen talk about that neither of you are really there. The meeting is an intense and risky exchange. An exchange where the only thing that matters is enlightenment, is awakening. An exchange where anything at all could happen. Anything can happen because the Zen master just doesn't care what he does to bring you to realization. He's not bothered whether you like him. He's not bothered whether you're going to be offended by him. All he's concerned about is to wake you up, to bring you to realization. And you're fully prepared for that. You're prepared to meet him in that spirit, to meet him in that way. This kind of exchange, this kind of meeting in the tiger's cave, is brought out especially in the great Chinese collections of stories and sayings of the great masters, particularly the Blue Cliff Record and the Gateless Gate. These are these very short stories about weird encounters between Zen masters and Zen masters and their disciples. I hope to refer to these a bit more in the course of the retreat, but let me just give you some of the descriptions from the Blue Cliff Record of some Zen masters, just some of the particular ones, and then more general descriptions. Just try and get a feeling for what these guys are like. It gives you perhaps quite a different impression of what an awakened being is like and what spiritual life is like. There's one of my favourites is the great Huang Po, who was 7 feet tall. On his forehead there was a lump like a round pearl. He understood Zen by nature. The light in his eyes pierced people. Well, imagine coming into the shrinery with Huang Po leading the meditations and perhaps striding around making sure you're sitting properly. Or there's the nun. A nun, a woman Zen master, known as Iron Grindstone Liu. Iron Grindstone Liu, what a name. You can kind of picture her, can't you? Really rugged woman, Iron Grindstone Liu. And it said of her that she was like a stone-struck spark, like a lightning flash. Hesitate and you lose your body and your life. Imagine meeting somebody like that, like a stone-struck spark, like a lightning flash. Hesitate and you lose your body and your life. She was also said to have an active edge that was sharp and dangerous. An active edge that was sharp and dangerous. That's a wonderful saying. And there's Tu Tzu. I mean, if any Chinese and Japanese and Korean scholars here or who've been there, forgive my pronunciation. There's Tu Tzu, who was plain and truthful. Whenever a question was put to him, you saw his guts as soon as he opened his mouth. Without any superfluous effort, he would immediately cut off the questioner's tongue. Don't take that literally. And then there's more general descriptions of the master, the adept. He overturns the polar star and reverses the earthly axis. He captures tigers and rhinos, distinguishes dragons from snakes. One must be a lively acting fellow in our school. And then cut through nails and shear through iron. Then you can be a genuine master of our school. Cut through nails and shear through iron. Then you can be a genuine master of our school. If you run away from arrows, how could you possibly be a competent adept? And finally, a member of our school can kill a man's false understanding in the blink of an eye. So I think you can get a picture of what these characters are like. The Zen masters live to cut through the nails and shear through the iron of our false understanding and our restricting habits, the things that keep us in a state of restriction and limitation and pain. They wield, it's said, that they say, the dual sword of the Diamond King, the sword of transcendental wisdom, the sword that destroys, but it's also said to be the sword that gives life. They are themselves this sword of wisdom and compassion. They cut down your false understanding only so that you can develop in wisdom. So searching for the tiger's cave, searching for the tiger is dangerous. But it is also, of course, the entrance into liberation, the entrance into boundless freedom.